Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22. This morning, we're starting a new series of messages called Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Psalm 33, verse 20. So let's stand together, please, as we read from God's Word. The psalmist said, "We wait in hope for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You." Father, bless us this morning as we begin this new series, and I pray that You might teach us the importance of waiting on You. We're so impatient at times, and we miss Your blessings at times because of it. So I just ask You now for those that are here today who might be going through a time of waiting in their lives and they're getting anxious and they are becoming impatient, that You might teach them today some of the important lessons and the reasons why we need to wait on You and how it affects us and blesses us in the long run. So Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we'll talk about the waiting game. Now, every person in attendance this morning has had to wait for something in their lives. And the problem with waiting is that we don't like to wait. And we can never seem to get used to it. It's just not a taste that you acquire of waiting. Perhaps you know the feeling of waiting for your phone to charge when the battery dies. Perhaps you know the feeling of waiting in line at the bank or at the grocery store. Are seemingly always choosing the wrong line at the drive-in at the bank. I always pick the wrong line, you know? I mean, it looks like this is the line that I ought to be in, but inevitably, that line always moves faster. Perhaps you know the feeling of waiting to see the doctor. Any of you ever had to wait to see a doctor? I mean, that's tough, isn't it? Maybe you know the feeling of waiting a long time to get your food in a restaurant. I've experienced that recently, actually. But most people are in a rush to get to the next place or the next meeting or to the next thing to do on their list for that day. Now, one of the things that I heard this morning about waiting kind of puts it all in perspective. My friend John McGough told me the story this morning when he found out what I was preaching on. He said that he was coming up here to the church, actually, and he thought he would stop at Subway for a minute and get him a bite to eat before he came to his meeting. And he pulls in, gets out. There's one person in the whole place. One person, right? So he thinks, this is not going to be a problem. Gets in line behind that one person. Another person comes in behind him. But that's it. One person should be in and out. Person in front of him ordered 22 six-inch subs. And didn't ask him if he wanted to go first. So he had to wait, you know. All of us have been in, maybe not in sub situations, but we've been in situations where we've been forced to wait on things. It could be a lot more involved than the things I've just mentioned to you. You're waiting for a change in your life or in the life of somebody else. You're waiting for an answer. Just doesn't seem to come. You're waiting for God to move as He promised that He would, but He's moving really, really slow. Now, while most of us are in a hurry, have you noticed that God very rarely gets in a hurry? At least on our timetable, he doesn't. He's not in a hurry at all. The Bible even tells us that God is slow at going about doing certain things, but he always has a purpose and a plan for everything, even though we feel like he takes a long time to reveal it to us. The major problem, I think, attached to waiting is not having all the details. I mean, if you knew in the process of waiting how it was all going to turn out, that'd be different. I don't know if it'd make it any better, but it would be different. So from our perspective, we have it figured out how to do it, what needs to be done, and we're just waiting for God to figure it out. We don't understand how we have it figured out and God doesn't. And so we act according to our understanding of the situation, not his. I don't know if you know this or if you will even accept it or not, but waiting is a part of life and one of God's tools for developing people. Charles Spurgeon said, "If the Lord Jehovah makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are all they that wait for him." He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith. It exercises patience. It trains submission. Endears the blessings when it comes. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. God rarely does things according to our timetable. And because of that, we often are easily discouraged. In our discouragement, if we're not careful, we'll begin to see God as either uncaring or maybe that God is holding some sort of a grudge against us. And that's why he's not doing anything. That's why he's making us wait. G. Campbell Morgan said, "Waiting for God means power to do nothing save under command. This is not a lack of power to do anything. Waiting for God needs strength rather than weakness. It is power to do nothing. It is the strength that holds strength in check. It is the strength that prevents the blundering activity, which is entirely false, and make true activity impossible when the definite command comes." We have to learn the importance of waiting. Because if we don't learn the importance of waiting, we're going to miss some things that God wanted to do for us. We're going to miss some things that God intended for our lives. God always has good reasons for making us wait. Now, I don't know about you, but I think far too often we rush into things without properly thinking them through, or giving them time to work themselves out. Often we get ahead of God on things and later on wish that we had waited for his guidance. Wish that we had just pulled back a little bit and just waited on God. Instead of saying, "Well, God must not be going to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do it right now." Over the next several weeks, we're going to study the importance of waiting on God and developing patience that enables us to do so. This morning, I want to lay the foundation for this series by giving you several reasons why God makes us wait. Several reasons why God makes us wait. Reason number one, waiting reveals our true motives. Waiting reveals our true motives. Did you know that God is very, very interested in the motives behind your actions? He's very interested in the motives behind what you say that you want to do for him. Now, you're not the only one who knows the true motives behind your words or your deeds, because God knows them better than you do. God knows your words before you ever speak them. This is where waiting comes into play. Waiting has a way of bringing out the best or the worst in people. People whose motives are not pure won't wait long because they are not interested in the commitment that it takes to see something through. They just want to get it done. They're more interested in short-term gains and success. The majority of people have good intentions, but a lot of what we want to accomplish is an attempt to make a name for ourselves or to feed our egos in some way. Man may be impressed with you and what you accomplish in life. The reason that man is impressed by you is he has limited knowledge about you. He doesn't know all there is to know about you. God knows you inside out. I want to be sure that God is impressed if nobody else is. Because I want to do things that please God, that bless His name, that minister through His name, and that get something accomplished for the kingdom. God often waits to move in order to clearly define our motives and help us clearly define our motives. Why are we doing this? Why do we want to do this? Why is this important to us? Is this going to help us or somebody else? So sometimes our motives are not quite as pure as they ought to be when we're wanting to serve God. So waiting reveals our true motives. Reason number two. Waiting builds patience in our lives. Don't you love patience? Now, I'm not talking about doctor's patience. I'm talking about developing patience in your life. Because patience comes through tribulation. Don't pray for patience unless you're ready to suffer a little bit. I mean, that's the way it happens. That's what the Bible says. When everything is going our way, patience is easy to demonstrate. It's easy. It's easy to be patient when everything is going your way. The true test of patience comes when our rights are violated. When another car cuts us off in traffic. When we are treated unfairly. When our coworker derides our faith again. Our patience runs thin. Some people think they have the right to get upset in the face of irritations and trials, but impatience seems like a holy anger when most of the time it's not. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." What produces that? Spiritual nature. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But if I asked you to tell me how many of you are impatient people, if you said, "I'm an impatient person," then the spiritual nature is not doing its job in your life. Because it produces, in other words, if you are totally and deeply committed to God, then there are going to be elements that are going to show forth in your life. There's going to be love. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be patience. There's going to be kindness. There's going to be goodness. There's going to be faithfulness. There's going to be gentleness. There's even going to be self-control that's going to show forth in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 We encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living right. Cheer up those who are discouraged. Help the weak and be what?
Amen.
With who?
Everyone.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Be patient with everyone. How tough is that at times? You ever have any trouble being patient with everyone?
No.
Never. You ever have trouble being patient, period?
Yes.
Patience builds character. Builds character. Patience in waiting for small things leads to having patience while waiting for bigger things. If we can't wait for God to do a small thing, we're certainly not going to wait for Him to do a big thing. So waiting builds patience in our lives. The purposes of God often develop slowly because His grand designs are never hurried. The great New England preacher Philip Brooks was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. But at times, he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. And one day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. And he said to Philip Brooks, "What's the trouble?" Philip Brooks says, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. Haven't you felt that way before? I said, haven't you felt that way before? Don't look at me that way. Waiting on God builds patience in our lives, which in return builds trust in our lives. So waiting builds patience. That's another reason. Reason three. Waiting builds anticipation. Waiting builds anticipation. Why do children of all ages get so excited around Christmas? One reason is because they've waited a whole year for it to arrive. And the closer it gets, the anticipation builds. Some of us, especially Alabama fans, have been waiting for football season since January. To right the wrongs. But all of you who are football fans, you wait in anticipation for the football season. I mean, and the closer it gets, I just get excited. I almost put my flag on my car the other day. And it, you know, we're a month away. But I was close. But it's the wait that produces the anticipation. We tend to appreciate things the longer we have to wait for them. Anticipation builds as a wedding date draws closer. Anticipation builds as the end of 9 months approaches and the baby is about to be born. Anticipation builds as you count down the days to graduation. Anticipation even builds as you wait for the day school opens. At least they're consistent. But anticipation is a product of waiting. God's people had anticipated the coming of Messiah for years. They eagerly awaited His arrival. The disciples who gathered in the upper room after the ascension of Jesus anticipated the promised gift of God. Today we anticipate the soon return of Christ. Anticipation has a tendency to speed us up. causing us to make sure that everything is ready for the anticipated event. And you tend to appreciate the things that you had to wait for the longest. So waiting builds anticipation. Reason number four. Waiting transforms our character. You know what waiting does? Waiting has a way of smoothing off the rough edges that we have in our life. The more we wait, the more we depend upon God, we become more the person that God wants us to be from the beginning. The story of Moses is a story of transformation. It is an exciting story, but perhaps not as often as it needs to be mentioned is the story of his 40-year wait in the desert before God came to him and used him in such a mighty way. God used that 40-year period of waiting to transform his character. He, as a changed man, by the time God called him, there had been a time when he was a young man that he was brash and he was impatient. It was in the midst of his impatience that, as you know the story, he killed a man and he hid his body in the sand, thinking nobody would ever know or find out. But they did. And thus he goes into the wilderness. But his sin went public, as most secret sins do, and he ran for his life, and he was exiled to the desert for 40 years. But when given a second chance, he took it. Somewhat reluctantly, I'll admit that, but he opted to do it God's way in God's time and not take God's work into his own hands. In the long run, the Israelites were delivered from slavery. Moses became a great leader, but it took 40 years of waiting to get him to a place of usability. Waiting transformed him, and he can do the same thing for you. So, waiting transforms our character. And then reason five, waiting builds intimacy and dependency upon God. And this is pretty simple. The reason we're able to read about so many great men and women of faith in the Bible is because they all had one thing in common. They were all people who had learned that their success in life was directly proportionate to their intimacy and their dependency upon God. Waiting during the difficult times develop their relationship with God the same way as it does ours. And so God gives us reasons to wait, and they're pretty important reasons. It reveals our true motives. It builds patience in our lives. It builds anticipation. It transforms our character, and it builds intimacy and dependency upon God in the process. So the waiting game is okay, as long as you can trust God while you wait. Some years ago, a speedboat driver who had recently survived a racing accident said that he had been at near top speed when his boat veered slightly and hit a wave at a dangerous angle. And the combined force of his speed and the size and the angle of the wave sent the boat spinning crazily into the air. And he was thrown from his seat and propelled deeply into the water. So deep, in fact, that he had no idea which direction the surface was. He had to remain calm, and he had to wait for the buoyancy of his life vest to begin pulling him up. And once he discovered which way was up, he could swim for the surface. Sometimes we find ourselves surrounded by confusing options, too deeply immersed in our problems to know which way is up. And when this happens, we too need to remain calm. We need to be willing to wait. Wait for God's gentle tug to pull us in the proper direction. You see, our life vest may be other Christians, maybe the Word of God, maybe some other leading from the Holy Spirit, but the key is recognizing our dependency upon God and trusting Him. Some of you this morning, if you're very honest, you're not sure which way's up right now. You're not sure which way you're supposed to go in your life. You don't know where the blessings lie. And so I want to ask you today to allow the Spirit of God to work in your life, to feel that gentle tug upon your heart that's pulling you in the direction your life needs to go. We need to learn how to wait. We wait in hope for the Lord because He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Pray with me. Father, we feel blessed to be in Your presence today. I admit that sometimes the waiting game is hard. It's tough to wait for Your blessings to be realized in our lives. It's tough to wait for Your word to come, the word that we need, the answer that we need. And so, God, I would just ask You this morning that for those who are here today who are struggling with some situation in their life, and they really don't know which way is up. They really don't know what You want them to do. I pray that You'd give them guidance. I pray that they might feel that gentle tug upon their lives. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray for them that You would deal with them in the only way that You can. Show them their need for You, and that they might ask Your forgiveness of their sins, and they might ask You to come into their lives and save them. For others, God, who are seeking a church home or feel Your call upon their lives into full-time Christian service, I pray Your blessings upon them as well. Some of them are waiting, God. They're waiting for You, and I pray that You might grant them the patience to wait, knowing that as we wait and when the time is right, we'll be blessed because of it. So Holy Spirit, take control of this invitation now. Meet the needs of all of us who are here today, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please, as we sing.
Just as I am.
Just as our musicians are playing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed for a moment. I want to pray for those of you today who are struggling with a need in your life that you've tried to wait, you've tried to do the right thing, but you feel and sense yourself becoming very impatient and feeling like you're going to have to do something because it doesn't seem like God is. Well, I want to pray for you today. We're not going to come to you or embarrass you in any way, but I just want to pray for you. I just want to ask God's blessings on you today, if that's your need. So while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, nobody's looking around or leaving or disturbing the service in any way, just by the uplifted hand, you'd say, "Pastor, I would appreciate it if you would pray for me today." Just right up and right back down. Thank you. God bless you and you and you and you in the back. Somebody else. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. A lot of people need a word from God today. A lot of people have been waiting for a word from God today for maybe for a long time. Let me just remind you, Moses waited 40 years before his answer finally came. So I'm going to pray for you. One more verse and we'll be done. Father, bless these who raised their hands today and those who didn't, who are struggling with different things in their lives and they're having difficulty waiting for you to work. So God, just bless them. May they put their trust in you for all things. We give you thanks for what you're going to do for them because they're willing to wait. In Jesus' name, amen. One more verse just for you. Would you come?
As the deep panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You
our musicians playing. Just pray for those around you right now, would you? Go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Well, all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. If you're a guest of our church family, we thank you for being with us, and we hope you'll come back. If there's anything we can do for you in the meantime, please let us know. We would love to do that. Our Welcome Center is located in the foyer, and Brother David's going to be back there this morning. He didn't know it, but he is. And so, yeah. But also today, when you see Brother Jeff, this is his 6th anniversary with us today. So, and he's done a great job. So when you see him this morning or tonight, let him know how much you appreciate his work for the Lord here. All right, Terry, come stand with me, please, ma'am. Most of y'all know Terry Lawler was in this church for many, many years and moved away, but she's back here now, and she wants to be a part of our church family again, so I know that you rejoice in that. If you do, let her know it. Well, God bless you. We look forward to seeing how God's going to use you, okay? So she's going to stay here at the end of the service, and I want you to come by and speak to her and welcome her back into the family of God at Hillwood. So let's stand together. Paul Artis is going to come lead us in our closing prayer at this time.
Let us pray. Lord, what a day it is to be in your house. What a day it is to be a child of yours. And Lord, to see people come back home. Lord, I pray that you be with each of us here today, that we will put our hope in you, that we will serve you in whatever way you would have us serve you. Lord, I pray that as we go through this week, that you will help us to reflect the light of Jesus in our daily walk. I pray, Lord, that you will be with the ones that didn't make their decision today. I ask you to give them one more chance. Lord, I pray that you go with us. Forgive us when we fail you. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.